Afternoon, everybody. My name is Rodri. I work for the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health, and my talk today is going to be on our 2011 Los Angeles County Coordinated HIV/AIDS Needs Assessment, also known as the Lachna Care Project. Hello? Oh, there. I have no relationships to disclose. Just some background. Whenever I talk about Los Angeles County, I like to give people an idea about how much space we're talking about. Los Angeles County is one of the largest counties in the United States, and within its jurisdiction, you can fit the cities of Chicago, Houston, Philadelphia, all five boroughs of New York, District of Columbia, and the city and county of San Francisco. So we're talking about a huge, huge area. In California, Los Angeles County is about 3% of the land mass. It's about 27% of the population of the state of California, with about 10 million residents. And it's about 46% of HIV-infected cases in the state of California. The CDC estimates that about 20 to 21% of individuals who have HIV don't know their status. So right now we say there's about 44,000 reported HIV cases, but if you take that estimate into account, it's really closer to 59,500 cases of persons living with HIV and AIDS. The Ryan White Comprehensive AIDS Resource Emergency Care Act, also known as the CARE Act, was first enacted in 1990 by Congress. It is intended to be the payer of last resort for all low-income HIV-infected persons living in the United States. It covers medical and social services, things like housing and substance abuse services as well. It was enacted in 1990. It's been reenacted in 1996, 2000, 2006, and 2009, and the 2010 allocation was $2.3 billion. It is managed by HRSA, the Health Resources and Services Administration, and it does set funding requirements. One of those requirements is that each jurisdiction receiving funding needs to, let me get my notes here, set priorities, justify need, and conduct resource allocations using evidence-based data. And results from this evidence-based data does affect funding for future allocations for jurisdictions. Because of this requirement, Los Angeles County conducted our Lachna Care study. It's our coordinated HIV/AIDS needs assessment. I believe this is the sixth or seventh iteration of this survey that we have conducted in Los Angeles County. In the county itself, of the 44,000 persons who are infected with HIV, roughly, about 40% of them received some form of Ryan White funding in the last year. That roughly works out to about 18,000 patients in the system. You would conduct a needs assessment for HIV services because you want to evaluate if the existing services are sufficient for your population. You want to prioritize the relevant importance of different services. And also, you need to guide funding when a range of options or services are available, especially in resource-poor environments. The overall goal of this project was to conduct this needs assessment on a representative sample of Ryan White patients in care. We wanted to evaluate the awareness of the services that are in the system. We wanted to evaluate the need for services, what services individuals actually received, the gaps in care, which is the services which people claim that they needed but claim they did not receive recently, accessibility issues, barrier issues, and also overall sort of customer satisfaction. This sampling methodology we used is a combination. Well, first it is, oh, let me get to that slide. We did a cross-sectional, stratified, two-stage proportional. My throat is killing me. I'm sorry, guys. We used a stratified, cross-sectional, two-stage proportional to size sampling methodology to conduct this needs assessment. The methodology is a combination of two CDC-funded studies, the Medical Monitoring Project, or MMP, and the National HIV Behavioral Surveillance Survey, or NHBS. There's two sort of sampling levels. The first one is where we sampled agencies, what we call agency sites. In Los Angeles County, there's about 60 or so agencies providing Ryan White services at about 100 different locations all around the county. So we randomly sampled about 49 of them to participate in this survey. And that also determined, based on the size of the institution and the number of patients they see, determined the amount of clients that we actually wanted to interview from those locations. The second one is client-level sampling. Once we knew exactly how many people we wanted to sample, sample size estimates put it at about 400 individuals in the system would basically be a representative sample. We use what's called real-time sampling. That's where people are interviewed as they enter the door for services that day to ask patients if they wanted to participate in the survey itself. Originally, we got 400 individuals, and then it was determined that there are certain populations that we wanted to oversample based on needing to have enough numbers to say something meaningful about them. So we oversampled 50 extra participants who were either transgendered, youth 18 to 24, or injecting drug users. I should say the overall response rate for this survey was 94%. With 100% of agencies participating and 94% of participants who were asked to respond to the survey. Also, when we sampling at the individual facilities was done randomly, generally on non-consecutive days. The methods were you had to be an adult who was a county resident and spoke either English or Spanish to participate. The survey itself took about 45 minutes and was conducted on CASI, computer-aided survey instruments. There are 47 separate service categories that we assessed in this survey. So 47 separate services that are available, that are paid for by Ryan White, either wholly or partially, in the County of Los Angeles. So what we did, let me get to that slide. For each of the services, we asked about awareness of the service. We asked if they needed the service. We asked if they actually received the service. And then we asked if they received the service, did they have any problems accessing it, and were they satisfied with the service that they got? For services that people indicated there was a gap in care for, that means they stated they needed it but did not actually receive it, we asked what the barrier was and why they weren't receiving that service. This was generally within the last 12 months with the time frame. And for analysis purposes, we actually merged many of these services together into what we called service clusters, health-related services, housing services, case management services, things like that. And for analysis for this, we did a combination of techniques, t-tests, ANOVAs, odds ratios, and we did do logistic regression analysis to find out predictors of gaps in care. Overall results. This slide is a bit busy, but basically we wanted to look at the geographic distribution of the HIV epidemic in LA County compared to our Lachna Care sample itself. Los Angeles is broken up into 8 what are called SPAs, or service planning areas, so we can handle different epidemics in different areas and we don't have to deal with the entire county as one big blob. So to give you an idea, if we look at the metropolitan area specifically, the metropolitan area or SPA contains downtown Los Angeles, Echo Park, Hollywood, and the city of West Hollywood as well. So about 40% of HIV-infected persons in Los Angeles County live in this SPA. About 32% of the actual agencies that we went and sampled from were located in this SPA, and 38% of Lachna participants claim to live within this SPA. We asked participants the nearest intersection where they lived so we can get an idea of that. There was no sort of statistical difference between any of these 3 categories when we did the analysis for it. So it's fairly geographically representative of the epidemic in LA County. And we like to think so. So this is some demographic information. Our comparison group was the 2009 Ryan White surveillance system, which is our CaseWatch system, which basically tracks Ryan White funding, so it's fairly accurate. And what we did here is we looked at demographics in Lachna Care versus demographics of the Ryan White system, and most demographics that were collected in Lachna or in CaseWatch were fairly consistent with our Lachna variables. There are a few differences. We oversampled for youth, so we have a higher proportion of youth in the Lachna Care sample compared to the Ryan White population, and a higher proportion of transgendered individuals. So we knew that was going to happen. And then the other thing is we do have a higher proportion of homeless individuals in Lachna Care. We didn't know that was going to happen. Injecting drug users, there's no real stable comparison group, so we can't really say how representative it is because CaseWatch doesn't collect injecting drug use behavior with enough accuracy to really compare it to. Looking at some descriptive results for the 47 individual services, awareness was fairly high as a group. On average, individuals were aware of 21.3 of the 47 services. Awareness was highest for things like medical outpatient care and psychosocial case management. And it was lowest for things like hospice care and some rehabilitation services. Awareness was somewhere around 15% for both of those. Next, we have the need. Clients claim to need about 11.6 services out of the 47. Need was most for medical outpatient, again, and also second highest was oral health care, you know, dental care. And then of the services people actually received, they claimed to receive about 7.5 of the 47 services. 5 minutes. of the 47 services, and need was greatest, services received that were greatest were things like medical care and psychosocial case management, again. And of the services that people received, satisfaction was extremely high. It was around 90%. So when people actually got to the service, they really liked it. And there were very few barriers to care, accessing needed services when they actually wanted to go there that were reported. It was also access problems were around less than 10%. Then we looked at gaps in care. Again, gaps are services that people said that they actually needed but were unable to receive in the last 12 months. This is a bit busy, but if you overall, the about average number of gaps in care was about 4. So people recorded they needed about 4 services they were unable to receive. The largest gap in care was for oral health care, where about 34% of the cohort claimed they actually needed to go to the dentist when they couldn't. In Los Angeles County, there are only 5 HIV-specific clinics that offer Ryan White-funded dental services to HIV-positive individuals in LA County. And they are not in, they're sort of geographically spread out everywhere, but not as wide as they probably should be. About 2 or 3 of them are downtown. So you got to get a bus. 4 services that people claimed there was a gap in care for, we asked why they were unable to actually receive the service. And of the list of possible reasons why they weren't able to get that service, we categorized them into sort of barrier types that we call structural, organizational, and individual. A structural barrier is something like there's too much paperwork or red tape. You know, organizational barrier is people there were insensitive to my needs or I didn't like the environment. And then an individual service is I didn't know the service was available to me, I didn't know where to go, I didn't know who to talk to. In general, individual services were the main reason why people were unable to receive most of the services that they claimed they needed. That's true for the entire cohort across all of it and, of course, across these top 10 services that are here. We then did logistic regression to look at factors associated with gaps in care. For the entire cohort, only homelessness was listed as a reason why people were unable to receive services that they needed. This is reporting a gap in care, so it's not the number, it's just yes or no. We then stratified it by race and ethnicity, looking at specific races individually, and among Latinos, those who were at or below FPG, or the Federal Poverty Guideline, were more likely to report a gap in care compared to Latino individuals who were above the Federal Poverty Guidelines. We then broke this down by those individual service clusters I had alluded to earlier. So when you looked at health-related services specifically, recent substance use was associated with a gap in care. When you looked at housing services, things like insurance status, recent known infection, that means being infected less than 5 years, and current homelessness were all associated with an increased gap in care, while federal poverty guidelines were actually protective of people having a gap in care. And then lastly is transportation services, things like recent incarceration and the language someone was interviewed were actually associated with whether or not people were able to access transportation services. Case management services, people who are middle-aged were more likely to report a gap in care. And for other support services, there are, you know, insurance status, recent infection, and federal poverty guideline. Since oral health care was the largest unmet need, we did a separate logistic regression analysis to look at factors associated with unmet oral health needs. And recent incarceration, substance use, and insurance status were all associated with reporting more gaps in overall oral health care. In conclusion, due to the, make sure I get this right, I don't want to mess this up. due to the high response rate and the demographic and geographic similarities between the Ryan White population and the Lachna Care sample, we feel that this population is actually highly representative of Ryan White patients in Los Angeles County. Service awareness and utilization were fairly high among all participants. Even though it was high, people still reported gaps in care. Almost 80% of people reported at least one gap in care for a service that they had needed. And predictors of service gaps for the entire cohort, there were very few services or factors associated with predictors and gaps in care for the entire cohort. But when we looked at it by service cluster, things like federal poverty guideline and insurance status seemed to predict factors associated with a specific type of gap in care for a specific type of service like case management. There are a lot of limitations to this survey. This only includes a treatment-seeking population, so people who are out of care and not receiving any services are not included. Some of these services are funded by multiple sources like Medicare or Medi-Cal, so people don't necessarily know how they're getting funding of the services that they're actually getting. Eligibility. Some of these services have eligibility requirements, like housing services. So a lot of people might have said, I mean, we live in Los Angeles, everybody wants free housing. You know, so, but people might have said they needed a service and they weren't able to get it when they're actually not eligible for it. So it could have easily overinflated some of these odds ratio estimates. And we recommend, or we hope, that other jurisdictions can find some of these methods very useful. And factors identified with predictors and care should be prioritized for allocation, and increased effort should be made to increase awareness of services overall in the system. Acknowledgements? That's it. Any questions? Oh, at the end. Sorry.
Thank you.